Good morning and welcome to me. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
When Bankai was preaching at the Ryumon Temple, a Shinshu priest who believed in salvation through the repetition of the name of the Buddha of Love was jealous of the large audience and wanted to debate with him. Bankai was in the midst of a talk when the priest appeared, but the fellow made such a disturbance that Bankai stopped his discourse and asked about the noise. The founder of our sect, boasted the priest, had such miraculous powers that he held a brush in his hand on one bank of the river, his attendant held up a paper on the other bank, and the teacher wrote the holy name of Amida through the air. Can you do such a wonderful thing? Bankai replied lightly, perhaps your fox can perform that trick, but that is not the manner of Zen. My miracle is that when I feel hungry, I eat, and when I feel thirsty, I drink. From Zen Flesh, Zen Bones. Eating and drinking are hardly the stuff of miracles. By definition, miracles are highly unusual events that signal the divine because they are out of the ordinary. As Bankai says, Zen isn't interested in a transcendent divinity. Zen pursues the direct apprehension of the divine, imminent in immediate experience. What is transcended through Zen practice is the mind that fails to see the ordinary as extraordinary. When the banality of small mind and its utilitarian focus isn't coloring our perception, isn't wonder our experience? A deep and direct connection to the moment transforms an ordinary act such as washing dishes or drinking tea into the miraculous. As D.T. Suzuki says, who would deny that when I am sipping tea in my tea room, I'm swallowing the whole universe with it, and that this very moment of my lifting the bowl to my lips is eternity itself transcending time and space. And here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Hi. It's Karen.
Hey, Karen.
Hey. I think I have been in that miracle of life this morning. I just did a really fun task that had to do with poetry this morning. It just took me to places, and I'm just sitting here so grateful for just everything.
Yes.
The miracle of life, of being here.
For years, since I first encountered it, somebody made reference to this just recently, but on my desk is the Make Me Sweet Again, Fragrant and Fresh and Wild, Thankful for Any Small Event.
Yeah.
And I was chuckling because I was looking at that as you were speaking and thinking, that's what she's describing. That's the experience.
Yes, and I think part of it is, I think there's been an awareness of this for much of my life, drawn to nature, those kinds of things. But the appreciation, the day-to-day appreciation now as I age is so much more magnified, it seems, because I know this is finite. And
yes.
Just to be here and to enjoy this day.
Yeah, and I share that experience. And what I just saw as you were saying that is when we're younger, we've got so much to do because we're really going somewhere, right? I mean, we're really going somewhere. And then we hit an age where we realize, actually, maybe not. And then there's the opportunity to be here. And the sadness about that for me is so very often Screwtape and the gang take that time for people then to become anxious about what's ahead and what didn't happen and focused on just increasingly focusing on the every little thing that's wrong during the day, an ache or a pain or a this happened or that or I didn't, whatever it is, rather than what you're describing, which is now there's time and space just to simply be here and enjoy the miracle of all of it.
Yeah, and you know, where I went with that was my husband, when he was very close to dying, and he was so concerned about the disease he had, just took everything, and, you know, every ability to move, really, to where he could only blink at the end of his life. And he would say, what is going to happen when I can't use my hands? Or, you know, and I remember just saying, you know what, just every single thing you've lost or everything that goes, you handle it so beautifully. So don't go there. Don't think about that. Just be here today, and we will get through every single step of this, however we need to. And I just feel like he modeled that for me. I watched him do that. And I didn't know he had it in him. I mean, I don't know.
He probably didn't either.
really transformed. And I mean, I don't know that I have that in me, because we never know until we're faced with something like that. But I do think about that a lot, to just be here today, because who knows?
That's right.
Anyway.
That's right. And it's not, that has nothing to do with aging, does it?
No.
It's just that it's so much more obvious at a certain point in life.
Yes.
Than when we're young, and it just, even if the thought crossed our mind, we couldn't believe that it could be taken away from us.
It's an intellectual understanding that becomes more of a felt
sense.
Yeah,
yes.
as we go through life, and a lot of are taken away. And anyway, I'm just happy to be here.
Well, wait. A lot is taken away. We could see it that way, but I think what you're describing is a lot goes,
yes,
and it's replaced. It's replaced. Then there's room for it to, what is no longer there, to be replaced with something that is truly glorious if we will attend to it.
Yeah, or even to say, so much falls away.
Yes.
And now
there's room.
Yeah.
Now there's room. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Karen.
Thank you. Gesho.
Gesho.
Thanks, Karen. I was just looking at that in one of our next assignments, right, Cherry, that the essence remains in our ability to tend to the essential state.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it remains and is easier to experience, easier to see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Next caller?
This is Todd.
Hey, Todd.
Hey. yeah, line in assignment was, be the extraordinary in the ordinary.
Sorry, Todd, you are strobing for me. I didn't actually hear what you said. Could you say that again?
So, the line in the assignment most resonated with was, be the extraordinary in the ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
Because what ego does to me...
Todd, I'm going to ask... Hang on a second. Sherry, can you hear Todd?
I thought you were very brave. I was not able to track the details.
Okay. Todd, can you give it a go again? Otherwise, we might have you call back in.
Okay. Here's my best opportunity. I'm at the best. So the line in the assignment that is with me, you see the extraordinary in the ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
Because what with ego is that it makes everything seem same and repetitive and redundant and
So Todd, I'm afraid I'm hearing every third word you're saying. So would you call back
another
in?
Time?
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Todd.
All right.
Okay, let's try someone else. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Anna in Home Firth in England.
Hey, Anna.
Hello, hi, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm really enjoying this assignment, and I feel that, I've been practicing the activity of acquiring a new viewpoint, and practicing being in relationship to life instead of ego. So today I had a day that I wasn't particularly looking forward to because I had some jobs. I had lots of different things to do, work, paid work jobs, as well as household jobs and things like that. And I didn't get to read the assignment until last night. So this morning I started it, and I do feel that it completely changed my day entirely. And I actually think this activity can radically change my life. I practiced seeing everything in my life, in my day, with a new viewpoint. And the main thing that I saw, there were two main things, but the first thing was is that everything was love. So everything from the wooden spoon, from when I was cooking, to the toilet roll, to the emails, to paying invoices, and it just made me cry, because it was it really did, it really affected me. And the second thing was, I noticed when I wasn't doing that, to me it seemed that I wasn't as present.
Mm-hmm. Well, we aren't, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's being illustrated, is that if everything, our direct experience of life is intermediated by the mind, then we're experiencing the mind, we're not experiencing life. I think Sherry says it in one of her books. We life is glorious, but we don't experience life, we experience conditioned mind and think it's life. And so to have something like this assignment, it gives us a way to interrupt that habituated orientation and then develop that new perspective. And when we do develop that new perspective, we realize what you did, which is it's all love. That's all there is. It's the Fakhruddin Iraqi poem. There is only love. There's nothing else but love. And yes, that is our experience. And if you're not doing that, we see the difference between being present and apprehending love to not being present and therefore not having that experience.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. So I was thinking, if I say somewhere that, say somewhere that we have to practice, we have to cultivate this attitude. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to continue, because it's just been incredible. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Anna. Thank you. Cultivating
yes,
that attitude.
Yes, cultivating it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Gosh, go happy.
Bye. You too.
Wait, and that's it, and it's just so clear as Anna lays it out, right, that it's always available to us. Right? We just have to cultivate our awareness. That we have to remember, which I think is the hardest part for us. I don't know about mm-hmm. anybody else but me. The hardest part is to remember to do it, to remember yes. that it's available to us, and then to practice it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello. This is Janine from Oakland.
Well, hello.
Hi. I'm... it's the assignment was a great reminder, and I've been, listening into the calls, and it's been a great remedy to and help to not get stuck in conditioning and such. However, I just keep having an unfortunate series of events, and you know, almost every lesson comes at the right time where I'm like, okay, this is my guidepost, this is my compass. Though I'm starting to flounder under the weight of just how many times can I pick myself up and redirect, and you know, what is there a larger? And there's intuitively, it feels like conditioning that even that thought, right? Just why are bad things happening to me, or you know, why does this keep happening? Any thoughts on, and ultimately, everyone, I found the golden nugget. I found the silver lining. I found the miracle in it. I have. I'm just exhausted, I guess. And,
yes. Well, yes. Yeah. And, you know, that can be such a very large and important part of the whole thing, right? Because what I project in listening to you is that you are rapidly approaching the point where it's not going to be exhausting. Because if we believe that all these things are coming at me, and I am not going to be able to sustain this. I mean, at a certain point, I'm just going to get so worn down that I'm going to go under, right? But what you have realized is there is a silver lining. There is a gem in each one of these. Each time you're hit with one of these things and you stick with it, you come to you see that jewel. You get that I see, and you're changed. You're transformed in the process, right? And so as long as we're hoping that these bad things won't happen to us, we are in a position to be worn down. But as soon as we realize all that's happening here is that the bad stuff, in quotes, is actually being taken away from me. I get something that comes at me that I don't want, that I've been conditioned to believe is awful and terrible and wrong, and I stay with it, and I see that whole process for what it is, and I realize something that I had not been able to see before. And that, whatever that is, that I was dreading or of trying to avoid or believing was wrong, now has no power over me. It doesn't have the ability to drag me down or hold me down or hold me back. It's over. I've seen it for what it is. And that's the insight. That's the gem, right? And so when we turn that corner, and you are at that corner, then we begin to see, almost to have an attitude, and one can have this attitude, I promise you. Okay, let's get on with it. What now? What do I need to see now? What has been holding me back that I can get to the other side of? What is it now? Give it to me now. Because you know that it's bringing you good. It's not bringing you bad.
I do, and I guess I can hold that and hold that I'm exhausted and tired and sometimes overwhelmed of it. I mean, is it just holding both, that both things are
absolutely true? Absolutely. And the encouragement is not to focus on the exhausted. If you're tired, rest. Take care of yourself. Eat really well. Stay hydrated. Get lots of sleep. Take really, really good care of yourself. But not in a conversation of I'm exhausted or I'm overwhelmed. You know, the feelings are there, but they're those kinds of meanings that are put onto things, those are part of the what Screwtape is doing to try to defeat us. Frame it as I'm exhausted. No, there's a lot going on. This is a really big time. I need to take really good care of myself. I need to spend time in nature every day. I need to, yeah.
And the exhaustion or the overwhelm is actually conditioning, telling you that that's how you should feel with these kind of situations, where when you
exactly
see the miracle and the silver lining, it's a whole reframe. So that exhaustion can just simply be, oh, today I'm tired. Today it feels like I'm juggling a lot.
I'm gonna take a nap. I'm going to make sure I take a nap. And I'm going to get outside and find the most beautiful piece of nature I can look at today.
That made me smile. I love that.
Good.
Thank you
good.
So much. Thank you.
You too. Are so welcome. Gotcha. Take good care. Gotcha.
Thanks, Janan. And I don't know if this is part of it, Sherry, but that place of the way of transformation that we keep identifying with that which is indestructible rather than that which is easily exhausted. That's the real
yes.
gift in being worn
yes.
away this way, right?
Yes, yeah, yes, yes. To get clearer and clearer and clearer about the strength at the core.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's very good. Yeah.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Todd.
Hey, Todd.
Can you hear me better?
Yes, go for it.
So what I was seeing in the assignment was that not being able to see the extraordinary from the ordinary. And what I was noticing is that conditioning isn't always successful to make everything repetitive and redundant and taken for granted. And that's a real wake-up call to just step back and realize, wow, isn't it amazing just to be alive? And end mm-hmm. of sentence. It's just that. And I read somewhere, and I don't know if it's true, but scientists have actually calculated that the odds of ever being born and having a living experience that we're going through right now is 1 in 4 trillion. Out of the odds. Mm. And I don't know how they figure that out, but it's fun to think of, wow, I'm in 1 in 4 trillion. Even just on this, physical, emotional, spiritual plane.
Mm. Yes, that is so true. And there, the 2 points that you're making, one, Todd, that continuity, it's like if we read Dogen or anyone else, what we get is life is a moment-by-moment phenomenon. Everything
yes.
comes together in the moment, arises and then collapses, and arises and collapses, and that the mind is not able to keep up with a moment-by-moment experience. I mean, that's what we're practicing, to live in the moment and have a moment-by-moment experience.
Yes.
And so when we become aware that what I am experiencing is something that is repetitive and same, then that's the wake-up call, as you said, to I can't be having a moment-by-moment experience. I'm having a continuity narrative experience, right? A sameness experience, which is basically being cast by the mind.
Yeah.
And so I need to redirect the attention and come back to being here for this brand new universe that just got created in this moment.
Oh, yeah, I saw so much in that. It is so true. When I think Sherry said this many times, and maybe yourself, that we can use our greatest, egocentric karmic conditioning self, as a reminder to get here, because when I notice, I'm in a conversation of, another day, I've got to do all this, similar activities that I do every day, like feed myself, I can go, wow. I actually have this ability to make for the and feed myself. What an amazing feat that is.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that conditioning becomes our cue to get
right.
present
exactly.
and into that place of wonder. And I would project, Todd, what you said is so true, that when we get here, that first awareness is the gratitude for just being alive. Right? That's the thing that we connect with. I'm here, I'm alive. And then everything else that comes from that is wonder or gratitude for what we're alive for. Yeah?
Yeah, exactly. And I just saw so much through this assignment that without the structures and the guidance and the support of practice, would have never been able to get to that point of awareness. And that's where, for me, the huge gratitude arises of, wow, we have a practice that shows that, is the roadmap to presence and awareness.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Yes, that is the gratitude, that we have the benefit of something like this practice to let an awareness of conditioning bring us back to an awareness of the moment.
Exactly. Perfectly said. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That conversation reminded me of what is my favorite part of this practice, and that is that the context, you help me with this, but the context is so large that there's room for everything. However, the previous caller, you know, describing that, wherever we are, whatever it is, if I'm listening to voices that say this is boring and repetitious and the same old thing, or why is this happening to me and I hate this and I'm exhausted, whatever it is, that's okay too. And and there's the larger perspective that can hold that and guide us to what can contain that without being stuck in it. So that's a long way of saying my favorite part of this practice is realizing that there is nothing wrong.
Mine too, Carrie.
Yeah, that seems like what it comes down to. Yeah.
It's the core. It is really the fundamental principle, and it is the fundamental principle of this practice, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It holds us.
We have time for
it holds us through everything.
Holds us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. We have time. All right, here we go.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Rob in Minnesota.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, Sherry. I don't need much time because this whole call, I've just been sitting here nodding and going, yep, yes. Yes, yes, that's my experience
me too.
Of
that's
this
me.
Exercise.
Yeah, that's me too, yeah.
And if I was to add anything, I might just add, yippee!
Yeah.
In the sense of, like, just this basic amazement that, oh, everything is here. Look at all this stuff that's here. I'm here. How rare, how wonderful.
Yes, exactly. It's the statistic that Todd gave us with, I had the same thing. How would anybody know that? Who cares? Because our intuitive sense is, if it's not exactly that many trillion, it's something very like that. When we think about all of the creatures and all of the human beings that have existed on this planet for as long as apparently people have existed on this, all of those lives, all of the lives that are going on right now, all of the world having all these different kinds of experiences, and here I am.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely.
And, in a blink of an eye, I won't be. And I will join all of those other kajillions of people who were here and gone. Oh, I don't want to miss a moment. There's something wrong? I don't think so. I really don't think so. I mean, yes, there are voices in my head saying, I don't like that, or that shouldn't be like that, or why does that happen? But that's so small compared to the using our senses to be here and take all of this in.
Absolutely. And just building on what you're saying, like the visual image that I've had in these moments of practicing with this is just this giant space. All of a sudden, the problems that conditioning wants to make big are just tiny, and it's like, oh, it's a sweet person doing his best, and we're all sweet people, but a big space full of light, and
yes, in a big space full of light. The image I had a second ago is I'm sitting right in the middle of the audience at a symphony, and the music is just exquisite, and I'm thinking about a conversation that I had with somebody that there we are, right?
Yes.
That's what ego does to us. Yes. And then we think there's something wrong with life or something wrong with the world that this happens, and rather than, no, there's this ego voice, there's this screw tape, there's the devil's minions who are able to take our attention and convince us that we should give that attention to them. And that's the lie we're seeing through. Not only is it possible not to do that, I know I don't want to do that, and I know I'm not going to do that. And all I'm doing is practicing getting better and better at not doing that.
Yay. Yep.
Yay. Yippee.
Yippee. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Rob.
Thanks, Wendy. Thanks, Sangha.
Thanks, Rob. And here we go with the yippee, Sherry. Truly.
Yeah, here we go with the yippee. All right. Thank
you. Okay, going happy
Thanks
with the
joining.
Yippee, I guess.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sherry.
That's
Thank you,
us.
Everybody.
All right. Till tomorrow.